Cliff Prince Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we're examining the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. Now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nicolau.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're starting a couple of minutes late, but that's because we were waiting for the clock to change into the 17th of January, 2008. We are here, and West Coast is still a couple hours behind, but they'll catch up to us, as well as everyone in the middle. We've got a great show tonight, and before we introduce our guest, I just want to give a quick update to the Granny Warriors story. Now, in case you're not familiar with the Granny Warriors, they're a group of little old ladies, as they like to call themselves, who have been traveling around the country during the past 6 months or so in support of presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul. And Dr. Paul has received quite a bit of attention from these fine ladies who got themselves a trailer and basically just went across the country supporting their favorite candidate. With the New Hampshire election turning out the way it is, where Dr. Paul came in about fourth place, even though exit polls said that his numbers were going to be much greater when the final tally was collected. Dr. Paul finished fourth with about 8% of the vote. Dr. Paul did not actually complain or file any grievances, although some people in his camp suggested that things looked quite a bit different at the exit polls. Granny Warrior stepped in and began raising money, which it cost to conduct a recount. Somewhere around $55,600 was the total they needed to come up with. They were able to actually come up with about $63,000. And then something very strange happened. PayPal froze their account, closed the account down, and then they had money problems and couldn't get a hold of the money that they had just raised. Someone anonymous stepped in, promising to cover the whole $63,000 out of their personal bank account, and then mysteriously PayPal came to the rescue and acknowledged that they had, quote, made a mistake, unquote, and were evidently very sorry for their mistake. Could have been the publicity, and it's quite possible that their PayPal name was under threat. In any event, it appears that the recount is taking place, and some of the vote tabulations were already being reported between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, but I've not heard anything final. As soon as we know more, we will let you know. Now it's time for our special guest this evening. He has been on the show a couple of times already here since I've been with BBSRadio.com, and we're happy to have him back again. He's a popular man for a lot of reasons. Number one, he is a scientist of sorts. He is a fellow musician, quite good one, and a music composer as well. Very learned about American history, and he is a health consultant and an herbologist. And tonight we bring on Evident Footprints, your guest for the evening and co-host, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you this evening?
Hey, good evening, Don. I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Sir? Oh, how, what did I do to earn that designation?
I always pay my respects like that to all the seniors, Don.
To your elders or yourself? To your seniors. Okay. Well, you better be nice. Did you wash behind your ears and brush your teeth today, Michael?
Every day, Don.
Every day, okay. Just checking now, you know, that's the job of the elders. what's new on your plate these days? You got to hear me mention a little bit about what's going on with the election in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Don, that's a very important story, and I've been trying to keep up with that because I'm hoping to hear some positive news with the advancing recount and establishing the truth, however the truth turned out that evening for Ron Paul, but looks like it's the old sinister forces up to their old activities again, because clearly there was some fraudulent activity going there, and I'd love to know what Ron Paul really pulled in for votes, because we need Ron Paul desperately to save this constitutional republic before these traitors and the other parties, the other Republicans and the Democrats, who are all acting in a treasonous manner by trying to dissolve this sovereign nation and merge it into a rival of the EU, which would be the Pan-American Union with their Amero. And so it's critical times for us, and we need Ron Paul.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And having listened to a couple of the Patriot shows earlier today, I should say yesterday now, because it can't be much earlier than today. We're already into the first hour and 20 minutes of the Thursday morning hours, but early Wednesday, I'll be more specific. I listened to a couple of Patriot talk shows, and there was a consensus that people were a bit disappointed that Congressman Paul didn't step forward and acknowledge that there was, at least on the surface, it appeared that there was something wrong with the final tallies, and that there may have been a little bit of mischief behind the scenes. And mm-hmm. In his diplomatic way, he didn't suggest that anything was wrong. They felt that at least his campaign committee should have, let's say, voiced some discontent with the outcome. But they didn't, and it was kind of strange.
Yeah, disappointing for sure, because we can't mess around. They want to play hardball? Well, then let's play some hardball. And right, there should have been somebody protesting that. And plus, Don, interestingly, you mentioned how ladies generated some cash for the recount, the cost of the recount, somewhere around $57,000. And that's a little, you know, small pocket change. If they took in $18-20 million, if Ron Paul's campaign took in $18-20 million, they can easily cover that. So they should be using the money that's their war chest. Let's get to war and fight intellect versus intellect, and also, even start getting some kind of commercial activity going for sure, get more exposure, because a lot of people still don't even know who he is. And the reason why I was saying that we needed him was only because right now he's the man running for that office that's telling us, at least, that he acknowledges the real problem, the Federal Reserve and the deep debt that they've got our whole country in. In fact, we're bankrupt, and we've been bankrupt actually since the Depression. And when they got us into that first depression, and so he's the only guy really acknowledging this and saying he's going to do something about it, and that's why we need him. And so it is disappointing to not see these guys show some teeth right now when it's time to start flashing some ivory.
Now, when you mentioned depression, of course, you're talking about 1929, correct?
Yes, the first depression, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we're going into the second one soon.
Yeah, if we're not there already. The media, this is what really irks me, is the mainstream media's complicity in this whole thing. First of all, they're not reporting the truth about what's going on economically in the world. They have their pundits coming forth with the analyses that they usually do that really doesn't state exactly what's going on. And they're also involved in this manipulation of the debate. Their complicity in keeping Ron Paul out of the New Hampshire debate really got my ire up, and I wrote a letter to Fox News about that. And listening to the South Carolina debate, which Dr. Paul participated in, I was incensed with the manner in which they questioned him. You know, they asked him as an equally viable candidate. In fact, he had been leading in all the exit polls. He had been winning all the debates, and they actually had the audacity to pose a question with a bit of sarcasm and satire, saying, "Are you electable?" You know, as if he was going to say, "Well, no, no, I'm not. I'm just in this like the others." you know, we those of us who have researched this topic, what I'm getting to is the fact that it's no big secret that the Bilderberg Group, in their last meeting, determined that Hillary Clinton was their pick. And this is not a political action committee, folks. This is a behind-the-scenes corrupt group of individuals that plot the demise of the world, and in specifically in the context right here of who their choice for president is. And it's all related to covering up the corruption that's going on and giving us another 4 or possibly 8 years of more money laundering and embezzlement of huge sums of money, not to mention the blanket participation in intelligence activities and, dare I say, murder and what have you. Those of you who are listening for the first time are not going to understand what we're talking about, but you could read up on the Clinton body count or Wantagate and a series of other issues, including the death of Vince Foster, and it seems like the Clintons have their hands in as much as the Bush family.
Which, Don, if I may say, for those that are just coming to terms with this kind of information, never hearing it before and sorting through it, just think about this. If you really think you're free, and our government's in our hands, the people of the United States, how is it that we had a Bush, then we had a Clinton, then we had a Bush, and then we may have a Clinton again? Is that really change? And so obviously, Don, there it is right there. That surmises exactly what you're saying. This is who's running our country, a cabal that the Bush-Clinton families work for, which would be the Rockefellers and their associates, the Rothschilds of Europe, and some of the other families that operate at that stratosphere in the financial world. And so there, that's our dilemma. We have an aristocracy, and that's, you know, royalty. And that's not tolerated here in our country. We can't allow that, because obviously we won't be free. And this is the really scary outcome of it all. Not that she's a communist, an avowed communist. I mean, that's scary right there. But her husband is too, and we already, you know, we knew that when we had him as the minor dictator of his 8 years. And so besides that, it's the fact that it's a Bush, then a Clinton, then a Bush, then a Clinton. People, wake up. Wake up. We can't allow this kind of activity. We won't be a sovereign constitutional republic much longer.
Yeah, well, you pointed it out well. I mean, we had George H.W. Bush for 8 years as vice president. Then we had him 4 years as president. Something went wrong, and he didn't make it in another 4 years. However, that opened the door for Bill Clinton to go in for 8 years, so that took us up to 20 years, and you have another 8 years just about completed, which takes us up to 28 years, and looking at another 4 to 8 years, somewhere between 32 and 36 years, should she get into office?
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it's also called dynasties, too, Don.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Although it's a mixed dynasty, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's the in-laws and the outlaws. Playing musical chairs with our government.
Oh, that's funny.
Unfortunately, those musical chairs they're playing to is a terrible tune.
Yes. Well, the funny thing about it is the in-laws and the outlaws, that's about it. Well, I know we don't want to spend all our time on such negativity, but I did want to bring that up because that is current, and I know that you're tuned into it yourself. Not because, you know, we're swayed easily by what others are saying, but it's at least refreshing to see that others are agreeing with us, those of us that do the research.
Yes, Don. Very encouraging. There's good people in this country. This country's worth saving.
Well, yeah, hopefully we're going to have something left to save by the time they're done with it.
Right.
Now there are some things I wanted to talk to you about, Michael, and I've had some requests from a few of my listeners and our listeners along the lines of health. There are a lot of things that the powers that be try to shove down our throat regarding vaccines. You know, we haven't heard anything lately. It's amazing how we're in the so-called flu period, and everybody should be getting the flu shots, but there's quite a bit of behind-the-scenes tussling going on with the money situation, so they've momentarily lost consciousness about the fact that we're supposed to be under this major threat of the bird flu.
You mean we're not hearing the promos and the hype from their control media scaring everybody about, you better get the shot now?
Yeah, that's basically the gist of it. It's more like, you know, Britney Spears has a problem, and they're promoting her sister and Jessica Simpson and Jessica Simpson's sister, and why
all that.
They're all blonde.
I think they're all bottle blondes, though.
Oh, well, it doesn't really matter, I guess. But the end result is there, and you know, I'm not judging these women. I'm judging those that decided that this would be excellent propaganda to control the thinking of the ignorant American public, the sheeple out there.
Yeah.
But the health issue that was such an emergency a few months ago has waned, and in terms of publicity, they have forgotten the fact that they were really promoting the fear and the worry, and this issue has entered the arena of the courts. In particular, I think in the state of Maryland, where there was a family that refused to give their children or allow the school to give them these court-mandated vaccines.
Yes, actually, Don, quite a few families. It was in the county.
Okay, it was the whole county that was actually fighting it. Okay,
it was a big, it was really an incredible event because they revealed their real police state mentality, their communistic mentality that they really have intended towards us. Because they rounded up the families, they told them, you either make the kids get the shots, or we take the kids from you, and or you go to jail, and or pay a lot of money in fines. and they forced them all to the courthouse to take the shots. And apparently, the courthouse was surrounded with police, with their dogs, and a lot of guys are maybe dressed up like kind of SWAT-like. And it's like, holy, come on. I mean, what the heck? What kind of behavior is that? That's outrageous. And very warlike behavior against the citizens themselves who are just taking care of their kids, are questioning the shots, and as good parents, and then they're being forced to make the kids take them under threats. And, Don, the bottom line to that whole story, as far as I can tell, is that in the United States, our property is our personal, private property, and it's up to us how we control it. And our ultimate personal, private property is our bodies themselves.
And our health, too.
Exactly. And if we can't be in full control of our own bodies, then, holy, I mean, my gosh, that's how scary this country is getting.
Well, I heard they were going to be fined per day. I can't remember if it was $50 or $100 a day until they complied, or that the parents were going to be thrown in jail. I mean, this is absolute insanity. This is worse, I think, than what went on in the former Soviet Union, primarily because they didn't have the money, nor did they have the vaccines.
Well, I'll tell you how it's parallel. They would, in those days, what they would do was just, if they needed engineers for construction, they would get them all down on paper, who the engineers are they want, set them up so they get in trouble, and arrest them, and put them into slave labor camps. So they're taking individuals and forcing them to do something they don't want to do, and that's exactly what's happening now here by these commies and Nazis, the domestic enemy that's operating from our government, that has taken over, nested within our government.
Yes. Now, aside from what I mentioned beforehand about the so-called amnesia about the bird flu and SARS and all these other mysterious diseases that were just supposed to take over humanity, and the fact that maybe they forgot about it, maybe we shouldn't talk about it so much to not remind them, hey, we forgot this, you know.
I got that, so Don.
But the complaints about health have not subsided, and I'm fairly certain that to an extent the chemtrails have entered into the picture. You and I personally know some people that have had some health problems, but it appears that that there are a large number of people coming down with respiratory illnesses, and they're not getting the satisfaction nor the proper treatment nor the admission from their personal doctors as to what's really going on. They're not getting accurate diagnosis of their illness and finding it hard to get proper treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk a little bit about herbology and homeopathic medicine as opposed to the allopathic approach.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can enlighten everyone a little bit as to what you're encountering from your end.
Well, one thing's for sure, that there is a perpetual bug going around, and it seems to definitely increase in frequency this time of year. A lot of infection killer goes out the door to treat that, and that's my herbal formula for taking care of any form of infection, bacterial, fungal, virus, or parasitic. It'll wipe it all out and simultaneously strengthen the immune system really fast and just make you strong again quick. So that's pretty prevalent, Don. And the chemtrail activity definitely is still very bad. 3-4 days a week for sure, every month. They just keep bombing an area, working it real hard. And I think for sure that there's a relationship with the upper respiratory diseases that is really an outbreak today, and the the occurrence of this spraying in the atmosphere. And my experience with that is that if people generally have a lung problem, especially those asthmatic or something, they need an inhaler, I've designed a lung formula which will just really quickly clean out the lungs, strengthen them, open them up so that they're strong, and everybody that's been using it has been getting great results. They don't need the sprayers anymore, anything like that. And so I'm showing the positive results with everything that we're being bombarded by, just by applying various herbal formulas for specific situations, conditions, and things are going great in that regard. I'm real confident about, no matter what they throw at us, Don, being protected is going to be pretty easy.
Now, your lung formula, of course, I'm not taking that, but is that something, is that an herb, or is that a liquid, or?
Yes, the formulas are all herbal.
Okay.
Gelatin capsules, and it's a blend of all kinds of herbs, and I have accomplished an unusual feat where my formula, really incredibly powerful and effective, doesn't take weeks or months or days or weeks. It takes minutes and hours just to start seeing results just about every single time. And so they're real exclusive blends, Don, and I'm also using some herbs that aren't well known as well. But they're all very, very healthy, very safe. So the lung formula, that's for somebody who really has a bad lung problem that needs addressing right away. Now, once the lungs are pretty much fine, the system toner should help maintain the lungs with no problem. Especially, you know, with people that their diets are typical Western diets, but if your diet's really a healthy diet, no problem with the system toner, keeping all the glands, all the organs tip-top shape.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's something that I can certainly mention to folks that call me up and ask me what their options are, you know, in terms of natural methods of healing. Some people have just totally given up on traditional medicine, primarily because all the doctors want to do is prescribe drugs, and they've on the drugs.
You know, Don, you know what's funny? When I hear that all the time, traditional medicine, I always think of herbalists. because the herbs have been around since the beginning of time.
Sure.
And that's the medicine that everybody's been using. Every culture around the world has been living off Mother Nature, using her plants, these special plants, the herbs, for their medicine. And it was only in the 1900s that the doctors came along with their approach that make them what they are today, what we call, refer to doctors, what we think of as a doctor today. They're a whole new breed with a whole new different approach, which is totally a fallible approach, because scientifically they don't have any true principles that they're applying in trying to restore health in a body, whether it's a person or an animal. And so they're really untraditional. And so, sure, in the mindset of today, everybody thinks they're traditional. It's very ironic, but that's how it is. You know, pharma is a Latin word which means plant. So the original pharmacists were technically herbalists. And then really how it came about was that the herbalists were the real doctors since the beginning of time. And then in the modern times with synthetics, chemicals, then microscopes came along. What they first tried to do was to isolate what they thought might be the magical elements or compounds or substances that were in these special plants, the herbs, that were causing these nice healing effects on a body, and they would try to isolate them. And then once they felt they did that, they accomplished that, then it got to the point where they figured, well, let's see if we can duplicate it, we can synthesize it, recreate it. Let's try to mimic what God had done, is what it really comes down to. And so there they failed, because they just can't mimic God with his power of chemistry and all the creation, it's, you just can't match him, of course. So I rather utilize what he's already given us. And then the rest is just having the luck or the insight or a combination of both and figure out, once you know what the body's looking for under a specific problem, infection or an injury or cancer, then knowing in the plant kingdom where to go, what to use, and then how to complement the various plants so that you get a whole new greater effect by combining them rather than taking them individually.
Yeah, what comes to mind while I'm listening is, you know, the conditioning that we got as children and even adults through the movie industry, particularly the cowboy movies. Whatever happened to sarsaparilla? You remember? They used to drink sarsaparilla and the very severely ill patients that had some kind of terminal disease, let's say like cancer, they would get a heavy prescription of laudanum.
Mm-hmm,
and they would
right.
drink. And there seems to be, in today's medicine, a direct connection. And this, you know, sarsaparilla was replaced by Coca-Cola, which used to
right.
be the preferred method of transporting cocaine within the drink.
Mm-hmm.
And to whatever extent they removed that from the drink and just got totally involved in the poppy production, introducing derivatives of heroin, and they still use heroin and cocaine in medicines today. Cocaine is used as a painkiller, injected by dentists usually, or it's put into certain skin creams, hydrocortisone, and what have you. I don't use all that stuff, but there have been times in my life where, yeah, I was as subjected to it as anyone else.
Sure.
And what we have here, knowing that these drugs are illegal, yet they're still allowed to put them in the medicines that they create. That's it's a bit of a dichotomy. It sounds like a contradiction. But they're the drug company. So, like the gas company, they're God. You know?
Yes. Yeah, you know, back in the 50s, I think the commercials on the boob tube used to be better living through chemistry. And unfortunately, they should have elaborated a little further and said better living through man's chemistry, at least, you know, hoping that that was going to be the result, which it isn't. And, of course, we want, there's the only better living there ever will be for an individual or a country is by living God's way. That's the only time you're going to be happy. That's the only way we can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is the ultimate chemist. Rely on Mother Nature for your foods, your medicines, stay in harmony with her, and life is much nicer that way.
Now, I heard, are you very familiar with the recent promotion of hemp oil as a painkiller or as a sort of a sedative?
Really?
Yeah, I've been hearing some reports about this. I actually listened to a whole radio show about it, and I'm not promoting it one way or another, but it's
Hemp oil?
Hemp oil, yes.
I know they were using the hemp out in California. They were smoking it for the pain and stuff like that. Now, the oil, very healthy, no question about it, Don. And, you know, hemp, that's a whole other topic in itself that the Americans need to relearn very quickly, because this country was founded on hemp. And we have here in New York, down in Long Island, Hempstead, Long Island, and we actually have a state called New Hampshire, which is Old English for hemp. And as it turns out, they almost fined you when this country was founded. They were almost fining people that were not growing it because it was so critical for for the survival of the country as a food, paper, oil, lubrication, and rope sales for the Navy, clothing, on and on and on. And, of course, survival food, because it's so healthy.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that's a food that the Americans have to rediscover.
Yeah. I was going to say even one of the Three Stooges was named hemp with an S in front of it.
True. You know, and what the irony today, Don, is, and it's good, it's positive, because at least we can buy it to consume it again as a food, because we're not allowed to grow it. We're able to buy the product, but we're not allowed to grow it to make the product. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? That goes to prove there's something up to this hemp story and why the government has a problem with it. But the government we're talking about is the traitors, the domesticated enemy nested in our government. They don't want us to be healthy. And so they denied the public right after World War II access to it. But prior to World War II, it was everywhere.
Well, in some states, it's not even a crime to be in possession of it. It's a crime to sell it, though. It doesn't make any sense, you know.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, it's just like so many of the other laws that are just contradictory and confusing, intentionally confusing.
Right.
Also, hemp, besides being used to make rope, was also used for making clothes. And,
yes.
And it was really a good substitute for wood. They could make many, many products with hemp that you couldn't even make with wood. It was much cheaper, much safer, and much better for the environment in general. You know, when you look
yes.
at the fact that trees are filters, and they remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, they were God's filters, and they're destroying God's filters almost intentionally, just to undermine some of the advantages of having hemp crops. Now, this hemp oil I'm referring to doesn't have the active component. What is it? Tetracannabinol or something? THC.
Tetrahydrocannabinol, I believe.
Yeah, it doesn't have that, and so, you know, you don't take it to get high from it. You take it for its natural benefits.
It's nourishment.
Yes. So when we speak about herbs, we're talking about things that, like you said, are God's way of providing natural cures for what ails us.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are not only good in building up our immune systems and keeping us healthy, but they're also good in overcoming the problems because of the manufactured viruses or the manufactured bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And other toxins that we consume in our food.
Yes, it's very nourishing, and once you discover it, you use it for a little while, you'll see the difference. You really will. It's very noticeable. It's just very healthy stuff, and the day will come, hopefully, when it's legal again to grow, so we can all make the product here, and then it's going to be a lot cheaper than it currently is, so more people can afford it. And then it'll be the way God intended it, a very common food source that's readily available and dirt cheap, so everybody can access it. And hopefully we're going to see that day, because the Americans need it.
Well, it's amazing when they come across these hemp crops, we'll say, they're quick to pull everything out of the ground or burn the crops themselves, and yet they allow it to be snuck over the border in trucks and vans.
Yeah, Don, of course, they're just eliminating competition when you see that kind of activity.
Yeah. That's a whole show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, going to Afghanistan to supposedly free them and stuff, but instead of burning down the poppy fields, what does G.W. Bush do? Oh, we can't do that. That's their economy. Sure, they went over and they seized control of it. That's what happened.
But the biggest industry in the whole world is the illegal drug trade.
Yeah.
It's probably, based on the fact that they intentionally cut back oil production, it's probably bigger than oil. Although,
yeah, that's the biggest black market business, I think, going next to probably porno.
Well, we won't even touch that tonight.
Yeah, but, you know, no question about it, though. That's where all the underground businesses are. You hear who's cleaning up all the money. It's that industry, that shady, dark industry, as sad as it is, it's true. And then the rest is the drugs, like the heroin and the cocaine.
Now,
their money.
They have quite a few synthetic drugs, and I know that you have a background in chemistry from your corporate white collar 9-to-5 days.
Yes, actually, I'm an environmental scientist, Don, and so I've worked as a chemist for IBM for a little while.
Now there are a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that are synthetic in nature. And I couldn't really tell you when that began, although I would probably guess that as soon as they started using some of these illegal drugs, or the addictive drugs, let's put it that way, and then maybe looking for the chemical signatures and modifying them or combining other substances. In general, my understanding of chemistry and its applicability to something like creating medicines, if you can you can come up with compounds using different methods.
Yeah.
And so the synthetic drugs mimic the original or the natural drugs.
Well, that's the desired aim and intention of those pursuing that, but that's rarely accomplished. The evolution of chemistry is first the alchemists from the Middle Ages carrying on the ancient secrets from the prior ages, bringing it into the modern ages of by the 1800s. These alchemists, and of course, very secretive. Everything was secretive up to modern times, and so the alchemists, for the most part, kept the secrets amongst themselves, and then apprentices and people that were knew a little bit, they became what we know as chemists of today. Because chemistry is not complete, and that's why it's generally generating toxins and poisons. Like at IBM, to make a semiconductor chip, it's nothing but poison. Every process, every step along the whole construction, fabrication of a semiconductor on a wafer is poison, pure poison, deadly poison. So deadly that I know a lot of people I knew that were manufacturing operators had died by the time they were in their 40s from cancer because they didn't listen to me protecting themselves with herbs. And so they had no protection, and they many succumbed to that. And so the chemists of today don't have the complete knowledge for the, in general. And so, the chemistry is fallible, and so it's actually become really the modern black magic. Because when you see how a chip is made, I'm telling you, it's magic. The technology involved and the kind of chemistry going on, it's unbelievable. It really is. And, how it all came about, that's a whole nother story. And but it's black magic. It's all poison. Everything involved with it is poison, poison, poison. And the whole intention for these guys to have a chip is to control us, not so we can have a computer so, Don, you can operate your production company more efficiently and I can do some production work more efficiently. No, no, their intention is to have that chip so they can control us, and all ultimately evil intention. Where the alchemists were generally pursuing the skill of sustaining a perpetual youthfulness, which then could lead to immortality. That's what it was all about. And so the pursuit of elixirs and the philosopher's stone, you see, that's how these stories came about, because that's what they were in pursuit of. So now the chemists come along, they don't have those ideals and or the knowledge to attain those ideals, and so they figure, well, let's see what are in these herbs and isolate it and see if we can mimic it. And then from there, the Nazis come along in the 20s and 30s and then into the 40s, and they really expand the development of the chemical industry and synthetics, and just experimenting now, just experimenting on people and animals and testing various compounds, and over decades figuring out how they can control our health mentally and physically with chemical stimulation or poisoning.
Yes, now you and I were talking recently about some substances found in certain foodstuffs such as milk or dairy products, because of the use of milk and dairy products, and I'm referring to I'm going to remind you about this, I guess. The report that I posted on my website, directlightproductions.com, and actually covered this in the TNT News Hour a week or two ago, where the amount of pus cells in pasteurized milk was far, far beyond the safety levels. And we discussed that these are the white blood cells that are dead that end up in the cow's milk, and possibly as a result of all of the additives and the hormones being given to cattle, not mm-hmm. to mention that they're putting animal parts in their food. That there's an aberration and an excessive amount of these pus cells, millions of parts per liter beyond what is safe. And
scary.
And on my website, it's in that article, I list the 50 states and the amounts for each state on a state-by-state basis. And it's incredible how much of this, I mean, it's disgusting just to think about that's what's in milk, but that's...
It's real sad, Don. But again, Don, that's commercial dairy milk, where mm-hmm. the cows are not in the sun, they're not eating grass the way they were designed to live. They're rather raised commercially, and they're in a stall 24/7 in a dark, damp spot most of the time, and they have a feeder tied to their jaws. And they just constantly eat what you mentioned, grains and spiked with animal products and hormones and steroids and antibiotics and all kinds of horrendous stuff for the poor animal. So the animal's, first of all, not happy because it's not living the way it's, wants to live, being out in the sun, eating, chewing on grass, grazing in the sun, in a pasture. It's not doing that, so it can't be happy. So it doesn't have the happiness going into the production of the milk. Now that right there is not, that's not good. And then all of the terrible foods and stuff that they have them on. So sure, that milk is deadly. It really is. And people have to stay away from that. Especially don't let their kids drink it.
Yes, there was a couple of weeks ago I had seen on Dr. Joe Mercola's website, Mercola.com, an interesting story about the permissible coliform bacteria levels in milk. We've got all these toxins or what would you call them? I mean, they're bacteria, number one. They say normally they don't cause illness, but we have all these people who are experiencing, as they grow older, a total susceptibility to dairy products. They have an intolerance of milk or ice cream or certain types of
gluten.
Yes, cheese. Also, you know, they have allergies, and some of these are very severe. I mean, people are hospitalized for some of these cases.
Yes,
justifiably so, because they can become very, very ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit disturbing to see that the very thing that should be sustaining us and giving us life is taking it away.
Well, you see, Don, that's why it comes back full circle to what we were saying earlier. You have to stay close to nature. You have to understand nature and then stay close to her. So, for example, you realize, wow, I don't want to drink a milk coming from a poor cow that's not living like a cow in the nature would, where it's out grazing in the grass, in the sun, happy, content, mingling with its own, and chewing on the grass, the sweet grass that makes their milk so healthy. And being in the sun, of course. So they got, you got the positive emotions, the animal's happy, the way God wants it to be, and then the great sweet grass it's chewing on to make a very healthy milk. And so if you start thinking along those lines, you'll understand, yeah, that milk naturally sounds like it's going to be healthy compared to the milk coming commercial from the cows raised commercially. And then so people will start to realize the role in nature, how critical it is for everything, everything. And that's why God made it the way it is. And so the commercial stuff, it just doesn't have any virtue to it. But the organic milk, where the cows are raised naturally, it's loaded with virtue. And where virtue is, there's power. And the reason, Don, why many people are succumbing with various symptoms, it's all due to consuming all these dead foods with no nourishment and also heavily contaminated, which are going to destroy the body's defenses, immune system, and then contaminate the glands and organs and everything else. The full infrastructure of the body will get contaminated and corrupted gradually over time. Everything falls apart. These symptoms start to show up. But it always comes down to just one simple thing, cellular starvation, you see. And that's what happens. And then when the cells are starving, then there's cellular dysfunction, and that's what is technically disease. And so I remedied that quickly by knowing exactly what the cells look for. For example, the dragon juice will supply cells with what they need right away, rapidly, with really no digestion. And now the cells can start to perform correctly, do their job, and they're performing their functions, and which is metabolism. And so now things start to work again. And then those symptoms disappear, and everything's fine again. Because it all comes down to that. Cellular starvation, cellular dysfunction from consuming dead substances that are technically not foods. And that's what they're bombarding us with today, these devil worshippers. You know, they want to destroy all of God's creation, cutting down the trees, destroying nature. They're out to destroy everything good that God has created, and that's what makes them happy. And so they're doing it big time today with the foods and the liquids that they're supplying to stores for people to consume, and the people better start thinking quickly about what they are ingesting. Because if they don't start to wake up and realize that the only person that's going to care about their health is them, that's their private property. The stranger's not going to care about it.
Yeah, you mentioned the nourishment in the food that's missing, and what immediately comes to mind is something that I did in my most recent rant. It may have been last night. Sometimes I have to go back and listen to the archives just to recall what I said, because that spirit flows through you while you're addressing these topics, and the days seem to just connect one into the other. But I mentioned Monsanto and the fact that they have been given all of these rights by the FDA really covertly to modify our foods, And they're developing all of these crops that are going to force farmers to buy the seed from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to outlaw the plants that are capable of producing second-generation seeds.
So, this is that's right, Don. That's an outrageously I mean, these people should be swinging from tree limbs, and I hope I live to see the day when there's more Americans thinking that and feeling that so we can accomplish that.
Well, there's a reason for the hemp crops right there, so we can make the rope.
That's right, Don. That would be the best justice, boy. And their ultimate way they're going to manipulate us with that is when they detect that their strain, say they got a corn strain, and now it's showed up in a Farmer Joe's field. Now, they're going to go to Farmer Joe and say, hey, you're growing our strain, but we didn't give you a license to grow that, so you have to cease growing that right away, or we're going to fine you or something, or have you arrested or whatever. And so now Farmer Joe's got to rip out all his corn because of that, and he won't be able to grow corn.
He will also, if he uses their seed to grow the crop, it's only good one time. He's got to go back to them to buy the seed. It will not produce seed either.
So then they get they to their next stage where natural strains won't even be around. For example, I started growing corn in my backyard 4 years ago because I found that the local farmer, when I ate his corn, I got griping, and I realized, oh my gosh, it's GMO corn. So I looked into it a little bit, verified it, Monsanto. So I'm like, that's it, forget it. And what's scary is most people don't even notice it. And I'm like, you haven't noticed that yet? No, I don't know. Okay, you better start. I'd be worried about that if you know. I noticed it right away, tried it a few more times until I isolated and verified for sure it's the corn. And so I got some natural strains and began growing in my backyard so I can enjoy, you know, corn, which is, I'll die without corn in the summer, at the end of the summer. I mean, that's good old Native American food there.
Now, they've taken a lot of the derivatives from corn and used them for food coloring or for food flavoring and fillers and what have you, too. And you have to ask yourself, how long has this been going on? How long have we been ingesting these other products without really knowing the whole nature of the original plant?
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing the results in people's weight loss problems, even people who are watching their weight, who are consuming certain what appear to be reasonable amounts of some of these products. You know, these boxed foods or certain canned foods are processed using these derivatives and as well as other additives, of course.
Sure.
You know, you were speaking about the chemistry side of all of this or the alchemy side. And it's really alchemy. It's really just playing around with our immune systems and our glandular functions.
Yes.
It's as though they've found ways to switch off our glands.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, or?
Sure. They're developing a means so they can control our health mentally and physically, and absolutely, Don. They're using science for sinister purposes so they can harm everything and make it inferior, and so that's what you call evil. That's the definition of evil right there. And so, sure, we have to be smart, use science to advance health and prosperity the way God intends science to be used, and we'll defeat them. We'll defeat them every single time.
Well,
and so that's one of the things I do.
Well, I want to encourage folks, to get in touch with me. I'm still waiting for some information from Michael that I can post on my website.
I promise you're going to have that in 24 hours, Dad.
I hope so. but I've been able to put people in touch with Michael so they can check out some of these herbs he's talking about. And I got to tell you, Michael, too, Frank, my parrot is asleep right now, so he's not hearing the show, but he's a big fan of the dragon juice.
You got to get him on the show. Your audience will love him. He's great.
Now you've heard him perform to some extent. Am I exaggerating, or is he a person in a little body?
He's a person in a little body. As soon you mentioned him, I start laughing. He's got some personality, that guy. And we're talking about a parrot, by the way.
Yes.
He's classic. He's a real treasure you got there, Don. Yep.
Well, I'm
gonna bring him on the show.
I'll have him come on and talk about dragon juice one day.
He gets his share of it every day, huh, Don?
Well, he asked me once. He saw me drinking it, and he said, "Clear as a bell, is that good?"
Wow.
And I said, "Actually, it's dragon juice." And I said, "Yes, it's good." And he said, "I'm a good boy. I can have some."
Wow.
So I thought, you know, this can't really hurt him. Let's see how. I put a couple of teaspoons in a clean dish for him, and he lapped it all up. He just loved it.
That's great.
It was funny, and it was funny because it's got some honey in it.
Sure.
And when he was eating his seeds, he had some of the dragon juice on his beak, and the seeds were sticking to his beak. It was hilarious.
You know,
he really likes it, though.
Sure, Don, you must have had to let him out of his cage and fly around real quick like the jet plane for a little while once that dragon juice kicked in.
He sang for hours and was talking and singing and yelling at the dogs, everything. You
know? That's great.
He was reprimanding them, you know.
That stuff is power and energy, so I would have loved to see him, going to town once that kicked in. Oh, boy.
it's hilarious, but I wanted to at least share that with you because I had forgotten to tell you about that the last time we talked.
I laugh every time I think about that guy. He's totally a person in a little body. You'd never believe it was a parrot if you just heard him in the background on a phone.
You know, I've been on the phone sometimes with authorities, and I'd say maybe some government agency or something. And he's screaming in the background and talking too. And I had to tell him, you know, that's not a child. Don't think I'm abusing my child. That's just a little person in a bird's body.
You got to hear it to believe it. Once you hear it, you'll know.
Well, we'll have him on the show. He'll soon. He'll be singing and chatting up a storm.
Sure.
And if we ever put some commercials together for Michael's private stock, including the dragon juice, we'll have to do the voiceover.
We got to do it, Don. We'll get to that one soon.
All right. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest this evening was Michael Anthony. We're going to have Michael back again soon, and we're going to talk about these issues and some others. Michael's also very versed in history, and we'll be talking maybe next time about some of our American history. In the meantime, I want to thank you for listening to the show tonight, and invite you back again tomorrow. We'll have another show. Jim Murray will be up Friday as well, and we're going to be continuing our discussion of hidden science. So please stay tuned. Thanks again for listening. Michael, take care. We'll have you back again
soon.
Thanks
for inviting me on, Don.
My pleasure, and I'm sure our listening audience. And folks, you take care. Peace, love, and light. Have a good night.